Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. On today's show, award-winning author J.H. Soder is going to talk about his best-selling book, Hatties in Our Closet, which is based upon a true story about a very unlikely and unexpected friendship. So I would like to welcome to the show John Soder. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to the show.
Hi, June. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
John, could you please share with our audience a little bit about yourself and some of the awards that you've received?
Sure. I think the thing that's kind of interesting is that I only started writing about 5 years ago, and that was really right around the time I had a massive heart attack. And when you have one of those things, you say, well, what's on my bucket list? And writing was one of them. I always wanted to do it. So I started writing, and I started writing about some of my experiences that I've had in my life. And one of the books that I had written was Hatties in Our Closet. Another one was True Tales. But I've since won about 6 different National Book Awards for my books. In fact, Hatties was featured in London this past year at the book show there. And it was a very, very unexpected situation that had happened to me about 25 years ago. And it was one of these things that you just don't expect to occur. But I've continued to write, and I've written books about my life, things about my life and things that I've had experiences with animals. And I've also written science fiction. But Hattie was definitely a memorable and just the fascinating experience I never thought would have ever happened to me.
Thank you, John. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about Hattie? Who is she, and how did you discover her?
Well, for those of us that are my age, some people will remember a book, it was actually a television series called Life with Topper with Leo G. Carroll, and it was about these ghosts that had actually visited him. And as a kid, I saw this movie, and I thought, gee, that's great, but that's all Hollywood. Well, I had been to a wedding with my wife at the time in New Orleans, and basically what had happened was that we were given a room to stay in a little cottage, which turned out to be the slave headquarters in this little in this large plantation, because what occurred was that we weren't able to stay in the mansion. It looked like something out of Disney with the haunted castle when we arrived, or the mansion, I should say. And so we went to this little cottage, and when I got to the cottage with my wife, what occurred was that it was all bright and sunshiny and all that kind of good stuff. And then when I turned on the television, the room went to, you could see the frost in the air. And it was really amazing because I'd never experienced anything like that. I looked at my wife, she looked at me, and I turned the TV off, and then I turned it back on again. And all of a sudden I heard in my mind, a voice said, don't touch that box. It's a work of the devil. And having never had something like that happen to you is a little bit shocking. And although I didn't run out of the house right then with my wife screaming, all of a sudden I said, well, gee, with my own personal experiences I've had throughout my life, what is going on here? And I realized that I was in contact with a 150-year-old nanny that lived on the plantation, and her name was Hattie. And the story goes on from there. It's an incredible story. And had I not experienced it personally, and had not the people around me experienced it personally, we never would have believed it.
It really is a beautiful story. And what I think is remarkable is the fact that you had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to connect with somebody from a different era, and explain how the world has changed. Can you share with our audience a little bit about what you felt and also what it was like to explain to someone who was alive during slavery that people of color could be friends, men could be friends with women, you could have this deeper relationship with someone, and it was about the friendship, not about what you looked like, not about your wealth, not about any of these other superficial things.
Yes, it was a culture shock for her and a reality shock for me. The story is basically about how she actually followed my family and I back to Los Angeles and actually stayed, of all things, in an armoire, Lord knows why, during the time that she was with us. And she followed me into the city where I worked. And when she saw an American girl with an African-American male walking down the street hand in hand, her comment was, if that would have happened in my time, the person would have been shot or never be seen again. And so when she saw cars, it was a fascinating thing. One of the times when I mentioned the sidewalk, she was looking to the side and asked, well, where do people walk? So what happened is that conceptually, all the things that we talk about in terms of using the words that we use and people live in the buildings and work in the buildings was just totally unknown to her. In fact, when we were coming back on the plane, I noticed I all of a sudden had this feeling it was a fairly empty plane that she was following us on the plane. And when the speaker over the voice said, please fasten your seatbelt, one of her questions was, is there another dead person in here like me? So it was a very fascinating experience because the realities at that time and the realities of the present time were just completely different.
How do you know that she was dead?
Well, I think she knew that she was dead. In fact, I think the reason she felt that she was dead, and in fact, what happened is that how she died a pretty violent death from an illness. And when the time that she died, she just thought that her penance was that to walk and be confined to the plantation where she was at. And nobody could hear her. And because of my gifts I was born with, I just all of a sudden heard her that fateful day. And now all of a sudden there was this abundance of information and communication because she thought that she was never going to be able to talk to anybody. She didn't know what to do. And she felt she was stuck there. And obviously she wasn't because she followed us all the way back to Los Angeles. So, but she did get the idea. But I think the point is that even in my beliefs, the person, although the body dies, the spirit lives on. And this was really a testimony to that.
Hattie's life and her existence change your life for the better?
Well, it really gave me an insight into how people were treated then, how they thought, what their thinking processes were, what their realities were back then. Because many times when she followed me back into the city and saw different things, I was at the time working as a graphic artist in a publishing company. She even walked in and or came in, and although nobody else could see her and I could hear her, things like different words, like in the old days they used the words like stripper. And she didn't know what that was, and then you got to really try to explain that concept to them. And a stripper is basically a person who works with negatives and pieces them together from which to make the plates and things like that. And so I had these ongoing mental conversations that were in certain ways very disruptive but very enlightening, because I'd have to be very careful about how I would think, because then all of a sudden trying to explain something to her, I would go down a chain of other words and other thoughts and things like this and go completely off track of what I was trying to say, which many times was very frustrating.
John, could you just talk about Hollywood's version of the spirit world and how they really just distort
the realities to the point where it becomes more of a horror story instead of something that truly is beautiful.
I think that's very well put. I think that what happens is that a lot of people are very into the bizarre and the horrific. There's a lot of people out there that love to be scared. They love to think about dead bodies and how terrible they look and how they come chasing after you, things like this. And so the sensational is a much more attractive sometimes than actually what's really occurring out there. And I think the other thing is that there's always into the idea of conflict and all these different realities and script writers are saying, well, this is how it is, when in fact it really isn't. I can say that now having personal experience on it. I think, yes, there are probably, as I guess you might call them, spirits or entities that have some negative influences and things like poltergeist. There are records of sometimes these things do occur, but there's also the good side that a lot of times you don't hear about because Hollywood thinks that, well, everybody wants to hear about the bad side. And there's two sides to every coin. And so I think the big thing is that with Hattie, though, she really was a very sincere and pretty bright young gal, if you want to call her a gal, because obviously she didn't have a body at the time. But it was a whole new experience for both of us trying to understand the process that she was going through and then actually equate it. But a lot of times, coming back to the whole Hollywood thing, it's not all what Hollywood mocks it up to be. It's really what one experiences, and having had that account, that experience firsthand, it was a totally different thing. And I can say one for one that they just kind of go off the deep end because it's a script and they want to create empathy, or they want to create fear and all these other types of things, when actually there are things out there we all don't understand, but it doesn't mean that Hollywood actually dictates it.
Very well put, John. What do you hope your readers learn from Hattie's in Our Closet?
I think the thing that they should learn is that there's nothing to be afraid of. There are a lot of things in our lives that we go through. I mean, goodness gracious, I went through my whole life not necessarily, I thought, well, gee, that was kind of an interesting thing, or I saw this or I saw that, and oh, it would never happen to me. And then when it does, it just changes your reality. It makes you aware that there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily understand, and it's good to have not just an open mind to recognize that there are things that are beyond all of us that we don't necessarily understand, and they exist whether we believe them or not. And I think that it really opens you up to a more of an awareness of yourself, your relationship, your spiritual relationship with a higher source, call it God, because I call it God, and it just adds to life. It actually makes it more fruitful, more abundant, because you're able to see things. I mean, children actually see these types of things many times in their life, and so do animals, and there's nothing wrong, but as we get older, we just get a bit tainted. But I think the big thing is to be open to those types of experiences.
Thank you, John. It has been wonderful taking a couple minutes to talk about the book and also your personal experiences. The book itself is one of the best books out there on this subject, and I think it's the first book that I've read where I was able to finally understand what people such as yourself experience, and you wrote all the details so well. It really allowed me to just step into the whole experience and understand exactly what many of the joys as well as frustrations that you experienced were. John, could you just take a moment and share with our audience your website and also talk about some of your other books?
Sure. My website is www.jhsoeder.com. And I've written a bunch of different books. I wrote books because I've had some very enlightening experiences with animals since the age of two. That was called True Tales. Then I've written some other experiences in my life, which is called Fingers in the Light, because having those sensitivities, it opens you up to a lot of different things. I also have been writing a lot of science fiction books. I have a series that just got released on Kindle and paperback called Element 238. It's a young adult science fiction series. I'm currently working on something because of the situation I experienced with Hattie and just how it worked out. I'm actually working on a book that is looked to be turned into a script, and it's called Whitewash Blues, and it's based on a true story of a prison system based in Mississippi and the fact that way back then they actually incarcerated illegally African-American girls at the age of 12. And it's an amazing thing because I've actually been down to Parchman and people around there say, oh, that never happened, when there's actually photographic evidence and there's all these things that did occur and they just don't want people to know about it. But it's a real true story of what occurred. So I'm actually working on that right now.
Well, it sounds very exciting, and I think the work that you're doing is so incredibly important because we really do need storytellers to keep telling people about different experiences and about just different events throughout history. John, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, June. Have a great day.
And folks, thank you for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.